just a little bit too soon. He may have shared his dream when he should have held it internally for a while. But he didn't ask his brothers to make their decision. Out of jealousy and anger and envy, they decided to get rid of him, meaning to destroy his life and to kill him. They're ultimately persuaded to throw him into a pit. He wound up swallowed up in the pit, not by his choice, but by the decisions of his brothers. Amen. And that led him down into Egypt, which led him to Potiphar's house, which ultimately led him to prison. And he's imprisoned 12 years, not for a choice that he made, but for a choice that Potiphar's wife made. But he is swallowed up and shaken and moved by the decision of someone else. In the Old Testament, they had a proverb for that. And in the Old Testament, they would say that the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. Ever bitten into a sour grape or a sour... Have you ever bitten into a green persimmon? Oh, yes. Okay. Well, that is exactly what that proverb means, is that the fathers made the decision and they bit into the green persimmon, but the children suffer and their teeth are set on edge. Look at it in the life of David. No one made his choice to commit adultery with Bathsheba but himself. But now the prophet says, the sword will never leave your house. And the entirety of the rest of his reign is shaken and swallowed up by the choice of his own decision. And now his own son Absalom rebels against him. And not only did it affect his own household in the murder of some of his sons, but it ultimately brought the entirety of the nation into civil war because of one decision he made. And they're swallowed up and consumed with it. Shaking's going on. Oh, dear friend, all you have to do is read the New Testament. No one made the prodigal son decide to leave his father's house. He chose to take his part of the inheritance. He demanded that part that belonged to him. He decides to go into the far country. He decides to spend his living in riotous living and waste the inheritance. But do you see what happened? The whole family's caught up in that. It affects the elder brother and his attitude toward his father. Can you imagine how it affects a father? Read the story. Why, that when he saw his son a great way off, that he ran to meet him. Do you understand that he kept longing for him and looking for him and the sorrow of having lost that son? He said, my son was lost, but now he's found. He was dead. The entire family is shaken. The entire family is swallowed up by the decisions of someone else. And that is exactly what this psalm is about. Look at the disciples. They didn't ask Judas to betray Jesus. He made the decision to sell him for 30 pieces of silver. But now the entirety of those disciples are swallowed up by the terror of crucifixion, by denial and the pain that they go through. It happens all the time. It happens in your family. It happens in our relationship with God. That it's not my personal decision, but I'm too close to someone else. And their decision sucks me in and shakes me like a cataclysmic earthquake. The ground around me begins to move. The mountains crumble. The sea roar. Everything's shaken out of its place. And I'm about to be swallowed up and consumed. What do I do? How do I get through that? That's why the psalm was written. The psalm is for the people of Korah. That's the title. I think David wrote it, but it doesn't matter who wrote it. It was written for a purpose. This is your prayer. This is your song. This is your assurance. When you are in a situation like Korah, or like the people of Korah. Amen. Do you remember how it starts? Though the earth be moved, and the mountains crumble, and the sea roar. Well, thank you, Lord. You've already read that in Numbers. That's exactly what happened. He said, what do we have? to sustain us from being swallowed up by the decisions and the judgment of God upon someone else. When their earth is moved, oh hallelujah, when an earthquake swallows them up and you're too close and you get caught up in the after effect of their decision, what sustains you? What keeps you? Well, that's why it's written. And what he says to us is that when situations and circumstances are beyond your control, and yet they shake your world to pieces and tend to swallow you up in a vortex of trouble, this is what you have to sustain you. Three things. He said, first of all, we have a refuge. Hallelujah. God is my refuge and my strength. And though the mountains are moved and the sea roars and the earthquake happens and the earth opens up, I will not be afraid. Hallelujah. I will not be scared. Because the Lord is my refuge and the Lord is my strength. And you have to understand what refuge means. He literally said, the Lord is my security. The Lord is my safety. The Lord is my sanctuary. Oh, hallelujah. You know what he said? The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are saved. He is a rock that is higher than I. He is a shade by day and a defense by night. He is a covert and a covering from the storms. So when everything around me is being shaken, I'm not scared. Because I know what I'm standing on, and I'm anchored to the solid rock. The Lord is my refuge. He is my sanctuary. He is my security. He is my hiding place. Hallelujah. In Oklahoma, we'd say, He is my safe room.
Yeah.
In the middle of tornadoes, I have a place of safety. I have a safe room. When everything else is shaken, I'm not swallowed up because I'm anchored to the safe place. My mom would say, we got a cellar.
Yeah.
Spent most of my growing up days in a cellar because mom's, when she was a young girl of a 5 or 6, there was a tornado in Granville, Oklahoma that wiped out their one-room schoolhouse and killed her school mom, and she never forgot that. So every time a cloud came out of the southwest when I was growing up, we went to the cellar. And there were steps leading down in it. It would seat about 20 people. There was always water on the floor. Some of you kids don't know what I'm talking about, but some of you know. But it was a safe place. When the wind's blowing and the wind's raging and the storms are breaking around you, God is my safe place. God is my shelter. Hallelujah. I will dwell under the shadow of the wings of El Shaddai, the one who is more than enough. And when everything else is shaken out of the place, God is my rock. God is my security. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In fact, Jesus put it like this in the New Testament. He said, how often I wanted to gather you as a mother hen would gather her brood under the safety, under the security, under the protection of my wing. A mother hen will make that clucking sound, and all those little chicks will run to her, and she'll open up her wings and enfold herself over those chickens and let the hawk come or the terror come. It doesn't matter. They're in the safe place. They're abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the wing and the shadow of Almighty God. He is their security. He is their safe place. He is my rock when everything else is moving. And the Bible says, which hope we have as an anchor of our soul that reaches in behind the veil and anchors us to eternity. They tell the story of a man that was climbing a mountain, sheer cliff. He was an expert climber, and he had worked his way about 3/4 up the face of this sheer face of this mountain. But all of a sudden, the wind begins to change from that soft south breeze to the biting north wind. And he understands that the weather's about to change. He's too far up. He can't make the top. The day's ending. The dusk is falling. And he can't make it back down. He's on the sheer face of that cliff. So you'll notice as the wind shifts, and now the rain begins to fall, and the rain turns into sleet. And and he's out there on the face of that cliff, buffeted by the elements. You watch as he reaches in that orange backpack and he pulls out some stainless steel pegs, and the darkness he begins to feel in the rock, and he finds little fissures and cracks, and he hammers a peg into that little hole, and another and another, and finally reaches in his pack and he brings out some nylon rope and he makes him a web around those pegs. And then he takes this orange parka thing and pulls it up over him as the snow begins to fall, and hooks it to those nylon ropes on those pegs and zips it up and lets go. And all night the wind rages and the blizzard buffets the face of that mountain, and in the darkness you wonder, when the morning breaks, will he still be there? He's shaken and moved by the elements. But the next time you see him, when the storm comes to an end, a hand reaches out and unzips and takes down the webbing and removes the spikes and makes it to the top. Because no matter what the shaking, he was nailed to the solid rock. And the Bible says Jesus is a nail in the holy place, and we are anchored to the rock. And no matter what storm comes, I am safe and secure, and I do not have to be scared or afraid. Let the earth move. Let the mountains crumble. Let the vortex start. But I'm on the rock. I'm on the rock. So he said, the first thing you know is that we have a rock and we're not scared. Second thing is, he says, you need to know when everything's being swallowed up, is we have a river that waters the city of God, that makes glad the tabernacles of the Most High. Now there's a problem immediately with that statement. Because the moment you read the way it's written, that waters the city of God and makes glad the tabernacles of the Most High, you immediately refer that to Jerusalem. There's only a problem there. Jerusalem doesn't have a river. There's never been a river in Jerusalem. There's not a river there now. That's what always made them vulnerable to attack, and what allowed their enemies to siege and put an army around them and cut them off from the supply. They dug a brook and brought it under the walls of the city, but the enemy could stop up that. And so Jerusalem was always vulnerable to its enemies and was always defeated because they had no supply of water. There is not a river in Zion. And yet the psalmist said, when everything around us is shaken, we stand secure because there is a river that makes glad the city of God. There is a supply that is unending. And he said it waters the tabernacles of the Most High, and God will help her, and that right early. So if he's not talking about a natural Jerusalem, then he's talking about you. He's talking about a spiritual river. He said, there is a river from God. Oh, hallelujah. There is an unending source of supply that will water you and nurture you and nourish you and supply your need. God will not keep pushing you aside. He is not an unjust judge, unfaithful to hear your cry, but he will speedily avenge his own elect that cry to him day and night. And when everything else is being swallowed up, you need to know something. That's not your source. That's not your supply. God is your source. God is your supply. Oh, hallelujah. And so he's talking about the river of the Holy Spirit. And he's saying, in the midst of all this trouble, God will bring the fruits of His Spirit. God will bring the gifts of His Spirit. God will bring the Spirit of grace. Whatever you have need of, the river of God will supply. Because you know His Spirit is the Spirit of grace. Amen. And you know what David said in 2 Corinthians? He said, I learned something for God. I had a thorn in the flesh. Doesn't matter what it was. Who cares? It was there. Whether you believe it or not, it was there. Paul knew it was there. He petitioned, pleaded, begged, besought, cried out, made supplication 3 times for God to move it. And God didn't choose to move it. But he wouldn't let Paul be swallowed up by it. You know what he said? He said, son, my strength was perfected in weakness. Now, you know what the Lord's saying? He is saying, out of the weakest moment of my life, my strength and my power and my supply and my source was made perfect and complete. What's the weakest moment of our Lord's life? Calvary. He said, out of the weakest moment of my life, out of Calvary itself, myself and the suffering on the cross and the death that I endured. Out of the weakest moment of my life, I perfected my strength and my source and my supply. So I want to tell you something. When you're the weakest, I'm the strongest. My spirit of grace is sufficient for you, and that supply is unending. It never runs dry. It's not a natural river that an enemy can cut off. It's not a brook that somebody can block and cause you to be overwhelmed. But it is an unending source of supply, because it's not a natural river. It is the river of God's Spirit, and it is a river of unending grace. Hallelujah. So you have a refuge and you're not scared. You have a river and you're never out of a source of supply. But he said there's one other thing that we have that keeps us from being swallowed up. We have a revelation of a sovereign God. You know what he said? Therefore, when the earth is moved and the mountains are crumbling and the waters roaring and all this shaking's going on and you're about to be swallowed up, just remember who I am. Be still and know I am God. Oh, what he said is, I'm going to give you a revelation and an understanding of who I am. I am sovereign God. I am in control. Amen. Amen. Well, you need a definition of sovereignty right quick. You ready? The sovereignty of God's a huge, deep theological truth that they spend a whole semester studying about the sovereignty of God. There's all kinds of deep understandings and truths and revelations of God's sovereign power and what that means, and it takes years and years to get this truth down. So I'm going to give you this big, long theological definition you need to write down. You ready? He's God and you ain't. He's in control. You know what he said? I want to give you the revelation and the understanding of who I am. He said, be still and know I am. Now wait. It says, I am God. Didn't need to put God there. All he had to say to Israel was, be still and know I am. Isn't that the way he revealed himself to Moses on the backside of the desert? This is my name unto every generation. This is my memorial forever. I am that I am that I am. I will do everything that I said that I will do. I will be everything that I said that I will be. You can rest assured when everything else is moved and everyone else is swallowed up, I am.
Lord,
hallelujah. Oh, you know what he's saying? He's saying, I'm Yahweh. I am Jehovah. Do you know what Jehovah means? I am the self-existing one that makes myself known as. And he said, I am Jehovah Jireh. I will provide. I am Jehovah Nissi. I'm your banner that will put your enemies to flight. When the enemy comes in like a flood and everything is shaking and you're about to be swallowed up, I am Jehovah Nissi. I'll raise up a standard against the enemy and I will put the enemy to flight. If God be for you, who can be against you? They that be for us are more than they that be for them. Greater is he that is within you than he that is within this world or in this shaking that's going on in your life. Oh, hallelujah. He said, I want you to know who I am. I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. I am Jehovah Reah. I am your shepherd. And I'll lead you beside still waters. And I'll bring you into green pastures. And I'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. I will anoint your head with oil. Goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. And you'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because I'm Jehovah Reah. I'm your shepherd. Just know that. And then he said, Jehovah Shalom, I'm your peace. Oh, I don't have time. Just be still, he says, to the winds and the wave. And there was a great peace. And then he says, Jehovah Shema, I am present with you. No matter where you go, I am with you all the way even to the end of this generation. I will never leave you nor forsake you. He says, Jehovah Sidkenu, I am your righteousness. So you know what that means? Though I walk through the flood, I will not be drowned or overwhelmed. Though I pass through the fire, I will not only be burned, I'll not be burned, but no smoke will be on my garments. Or my old mama, we used to say, you won't even get sin, son. Why? Because no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Every voice that rises against you in judgment you shall condemn, for this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness and their victory is from me. He said, in the midst of all the shaking, just stand still and know who I am. I am God. And I love what he said by being still, because that's a Hebrew word picture. Do you know what that means? He said, unclasp your hands. Let your hands fall to your knees. Now, why is he saying that? Be still. Because he knows us. He sure knows me. Now, maybe all of you are not like this. But no matter what situation's going on, whether it's my choice or the choice of someone else, and the shaking starts, and the ground's opening, and the mountain's crumbling, I just believe if I can get my hands on this thing, amen, I can work this thing out. If I can just take hold of this situation, if I just grab it up really good and take hold of it, I can manipulate it, I can make it happen, I can change it.
Yeah.
Well, some of you are relating to who I am. But you know what he said? No. The mountains are moving. They're crumbling. The earth is opening. The choices are too great. The shaking's too great for you. But if you know who I am, then you can be still. You're not scared because you have a shelter and a sanctuary and a rock. You're not worried about a scarcity because you've got a supply of an unending source of God's grace. But in the middle of the shaking, while everyone else is trembling and frightened, you can let your hands hang down. Because I am.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm in control.
Thank you, Lord.
And we know that none of this can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. That in all these things you are more than conquerors through Him that loved you. And that God is at work in all things for your good and His glory, because all things work together for good to those that love God and those who are the called according to His purpose. And out of the shaking, God's going to get the victory. They tell, and I'm going to close, they tell a story of a chess master from the United States who went to Paris. And part of their tour was to go to the big museum in Paris and to view all the paintings. And he's just part of the group, but as they're walking down, viewing all the wonderful paintings in that museum in Paris, there's one that catches his attention. Because it's a very unique picture or painting, oil painting, of a chess match. But it's unique. On one side is a man. And he is in the grips of pain and terror and fear and sadness. And he is sitting on his side of the board with his head buried in his hands, weeping tears. And on the other side of the chessboard is the devil. And the devil has his hands thrown up in glee. There's a smirk on his face. And he's looking down at the pitifulness of that man. And the caption under the painting is, "Checkmate." And that chess master stands and looks at it. But he's not looking at the devil or the man. He's looking at the board. He's looking at the pieces of the chests on the board. And everybody else goes on. And finally, the guy says, "Come on, sir, you're going to have to go. We're on a time." He said, "No, wait. And he keeps studying the board. And finally, he turns around agitated. And you're not supposed to speak loud in the museum. And he says, wait. He said, "Either the artist has to paint it again, or you've got to change the caption." And the guy said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "I got news for you. I'm a chess master and I've studied the board, and the man's king has one more move." And what the Lord is saying to you this morning is, no matter the shaking and the circumstances and the decisions of others, your king's not through yet. He's got one more move. And so he says, you can be still and know. Who is he? He's not only all those other Jehovahs. He is Jehovah Zebaoth. He is the captain of the Lord's armies. He's the captain of the host of heaven. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And because He's in control, you can let your hands hang down and be in peace, because He's going to work it out for your good. He's going to change it for your glory. Hallelujah. Gotta quit. Let me explain Jehovah's of both and I'll stop. You know, Jesus said, I am. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the door. I'm the bread. I'm the water. He said, I am the good shepherd. And he's repeating what he said to Moses. I am. So what did he mean? What does that mean when everything in your life shaken? That he is. Well, let's look at it. He's the shepherd. How did the shepherd protect the sheep in Israel? Well, there's caves everywhere. David had sheep caves around Jerusalem. He knew how to get into Jerusalem or Jebus and make it Jerusalem. He had herded his sheep in those caves. They found the Dead Sea Scrolls in the sheep caves. So at night, the shepherd would bring his flock and put them in the cave. But there's no gate. You know why? There's no wood. Very little wood in Israel. So they couldn't build a gate. So you know what the shepherd would do? The shepherd's the gate. The shepherd would put the sheep in the cave, and then the shepherd would take his staff and his sling, and he would position himself in the opening of the cave. And to get to the sheep, you got to go through the shepherd. And you know what the Lord is saying? No matter what others have sucked you into by their choices, to get to you, it's got to go through me. Because I am. And I'll show you one thing, and I promise you I'll stop. Brother, can I have you? Would you just stand face them? Amen. Brother, I need you and you. I want one of you to stand right here, and the other get on this side and just join your hands around him like that. Just right out there. There you go. You know what the Bible says? When everything else is shaken, he says, I give my angels charge over you, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. That's his promise, that his angels are in charge. So when my brother walks, the angels got to go with him. And then when he stops, and then when they backs up, see, you think you got lots of room around you. You just don't have spiritual eyes. Because right now, the angels of the Lord are in charge around you. Hallelujah. But that's only half the promise. I need some young angels. You guys right here. You three come here. And my brother right here, come. You four. Now would you join hands around them, make a circle around them? Just join hands all the way around. You know what the Lord says? I give my angels charge over you. Then it says, and the angels of the Lord encamp around about those that love God. Dear friend, how can you be shaken? How can you be sucked in and destroyed? To get to you, the circumstance, the situation, the devil himself has got to go through all the angels. And then to get to you, he's got to go through the shepherd. And so it doesn't matter, he says, what's shaking in your life, we've got a rock. We have a river. And we know who we are. And when everybody else is being moved, we're anchored on the solid rock. Amen. Stand with me right now. Thank you, angels. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, I don't know what all's going on in your life. But I do know that into every life there comes these moments. But we have a place of safety. We have an unending supply. And we have the revelation of who He is. And when the shaking's going on, we stand. We're not afraid. We don't lack. We can let go. Because we're nailed to the rock. That's not just for the sons of Korah. that's for you. Because I don't know what decisions have been made around you that has caused your existence to begin to shake. Your faith to begin to be buffeted. Your home to be like a mountain that's crumbling. The sea's roaring. But He does. And He's here this morning just for you. He came into this service just to tell you that. He's your refuge. He's your river. He's all you need. And what He wants you to do is to take your hands off and let God. Father, right now, would You speak peace in the storm? In the middle of every circumstance that would shake us, You sustain us by who You are. No weapon that is formed against us will prosper. Every voice that rises against us in judgment, You'll silence. When we pass through the fire, not even singed. When we walk through the overwhelming flood, we're on the rock. We're on the rock. Be our refuge and our strength. In Jesus' name, right now. If you'd say, Brother Bob, there's a whole lot of shaking in my life right now. Whether it's my decision or someone else's, it's like my whole existence is being moved. It's like standing next to an open pit to be swallowed up. I need a refuge. I need the revelation of who He is. I just need Him right now. I am. If you'd like prayer, you're in that situation, your family's in that situation, and you need the reassurance of who He is this morning and a touch of His hand, I'm going to ask you to step out from where you are and just come and stand with me. I won't embarrass you. We're just going to pray together. There's a shaking going on in my life, and I need this refuge. I need this river. I need this understanding of who God is. Would you come right now? We're just going to pray with you. Come on. God's speaking to several of you. Situations are crumbling. Families are being shaken loose. Choices made that has shattered your world and sucked you into it. He's here just for you right now. Amen. Pastor, would you come? Any of you gone through a situation like that, you'd like to pray for these, would you come and gather around them too? And we're just going to pray the presence of the Lord into their life right now. God's here just for them. Amen. Lady, He's here. He's your refuge. He's your source. When the enemy says there's no supply, He is a river. It's unending. Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Paul. You can take your hands off. You can be still. He's going to do it.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, right now. Lord, we know that You're here right now. That You are Jehovah Raah. You are my shepherd. Hallelujah. And right now, right now, You are surrounding us, Lord.
Hallelujah.